When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. And also joining us tonight, guys, are the boys from New York Revival, Eli, Mr. Glass Half Full, and I believe Hefe will be joining as well. So should be a hell of a time. But before they join in a few minutes, Chris, what a day Monday was when it started off, right? Like, you've been saying it for quite a while now that Saquon Barkley would not be back. I was a little surprised that McKinney wasn't back, but I think you felt that he wouldn't be as well. I was hoping against hope that he would be. Like I said from the start, I was more disappointed that McKinney wasn't re-signed. But Chris, by the end of the day, I don't know, man. I felt pretty good about what we did, what the Giants did the last couple of days, actually. But man, getting Brian Burns and, well, I mean, it's a whirlwind. We could talk about the Saquon going to Philly. We could talk about McKinney leaving, Burns coming in, signing John Runyon's son, John Runyon, and now John Runyon has to root for the Giants, which I'm happy about. But yeah, dude, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I guess we could start with Barkley. Not a surprise that he left. It stung a little. And you asked me this the other day. You said, would it hurt you if he went to Philly? And I would say it's 90-10 for me. 90 is like, whatever. I didn't expect him back. But there's the 10% of me that's like, oh, man, he went to Philly? Oh, God. And then the text messages rolled in, and the Eagle fans were like, oh, looks like he has a line to run behind now, and just stuff like that. So it is what it is. It, you know, he got the money. Goodbye, Saquon. Thanks. You're a class act while you were here. I didn't like his goodbye, I'll be honest with you. But whatever. By the end of the day, we got Brian Burns, dude. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place, but that's what happens when you hadn't spoken since Monday. So I guess we could start with Barkley, dude.
Yeah, well, he went with the money, right? I mean, that's what it always comes down to.
Yep.
So he went with the money. And look, he's from Pennsylvania. I know he's born in the Bronx, but he's from Pennsylvania. He was raised in Pennsylvania. He goes home. He's a Penn State kid.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the Giants weren't going 12 million. I told you that. They were going 8-9 tops.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's the right move, by the way.
Yeah. And the Eagles came in and with that big contract. And the Eagles aren't really known for paying running backs, although they do have two of the largest, biggest running back contracts in the last 10 years or so. They had DeMarco Murray, too, was a big one back in the day.
Yeah.
So they will here and there. So they saw Saquon and they targeted him. From what I understand, it came down to him and Philly and Houston. Houston was offering about 11 plus two.
Yeah.
11. And I think the Eagles wound up with more guaranteed, more AAV and all that stuff. So he goes there. So it's no surprise Saquon's not a Giant anymore. Okay.
Right.
And he went, you know, with the money and God bless him. You know, like I said, I wasn't too crazy about that goodbye either. I thought I expected a little bit more from
Saquon. Yeah, I thought it was very generic, very generic.
But look, if you think Saquon still didn't hold a grudge against the Giants after being tagged last season and him feeling he didn't get his money, you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah,
okay? Right. He still didn't like what happened last year. And he went on to the Eagles, and it's part of the business, man. What are you going to do? I mean, from what I understand down in Philly, a lot of Philly people are not too happy with this contract. They think they overpaid for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
I've been hearing that from down there, you know. But whatever, we'll see. Saquon, I'm sure, will do well, you know, with the Eagles.
And now there's the latest rumor, Chris, that Roseman Roseman spoke to Barkley during the tampering period, which is a no-no. You can speak to the agent.
Can't do that. That's what James Franklin, Penn State head coach, said. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. The Eagles kind of said that's bullshit. We only spoke to the agent. And who was that? Berry from CAA. So, well, whatever. You know, so Barkley got the big money that he was looking for. It's basically the same contract he turned down in 22 from the Giants.
Right.
And the fact is that Saquon – he thought he was going to get Ed McCaffrey number a couple years ago because I'm going to say this in a respectful way, okay? Because I always loved Saquon. So I am not putting down Saquon at all. But the fact of the matter is Saquon thinks he's a great back, and he thinks he's on the same level as McCaffrey, and he should have been paid like Ed McCaffrey, okay? No matter what he said afterwards, oh, God, you know, McCaffrey's great, all that. But Saquon feels he's a great back, and he should be paid like a great back and paid like a guy like Christian McCaffrey. And the fact is, he's not a great back, Saquon. He's a very good back. He's not a great back. He's not Christian McCaffrey.
Well, you've been saying that for a long time, to your credit, on a lot of podcasts. He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not getting that money.
He's not getting that money. He was never getting that money, and nobody else gave him that money even this year. You know, the Eagles gave him the 12-plus and all that. Okay, whatever. There was really nobody offering 12-plus except for the Eagles. Like I said, Houston, from what I understand, Houston was in on him pretty good. And they were offering around 11 and all that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the fact is that, you know, God bless Saquon. And I mean this in a derogatory way, but the fact of the matter is that Saquon does think he's an absolute great back and he should be paid like it. And that means McCaffrey type 16 plus and all that stuff. And he's not a great back. And he didn't get paid like McCaffrey because he's not Christian McCaffrey. That's the bottom line. He's not Christian. Right. He's not Adrian Peterson back in the day. He is not that type of back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
But he got paid like a very good back because he is a very good back. But the Giants, Jerry, I put it on Twitter the other day. Joe Shane has a way of building a football team, and it's a lot like what they did up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay the premium positions. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you see them doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. They won't pay. I've been saying this for 2 years. I argue with a guy. I've been arguing with a guy for two freaking years in the Giants building who kept telling me that, oh, I don't know. They're not going to lose Saquon. I've been telling this person for 2 years, guy, they're not paying Saquon. They're going to be losing if he does. If Saquon doesn't get that money, he's going to walk.
Right.
He walked. I mean, Shane, they were going to a certain number,
mm-hmm.
and that was it.
Yeah.
They have a team to build here, and a running back is not something in their philosophy. It's important. It's not a premium position. So look at what they've done, what Joe Shane has done with the premium positions, okay? You went out, you drafted one in the cornerback with Tate Banks, might draft another one, okay? Or might even sign a veteran coming up here soon. Cornerback, premium position.
Mm-hmm.
Left tackle extends Andrew Thomas.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so what do you got to work on? Oh, edge. Well, he just addressed – Joe Shane has addressed edge twice.
Right.
One through the draft with Thibodeau.
Yep.
And now he goes out and makes a blockbuster trade for Brian Burns. So edge, premium position, he's addressed that. So now Joe has to work on the quarterback thing. We'll see what happens. And the wide receiver thing where one or the other, they're going to get probably at number six or move up or whatever it might be. It's going to be a quarterback or wide, if it doesn't work, wide receiver at six. So you're going to address that too.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the way they're going to build a team, Jerry. You know, they're not going to pay a safety, although they do, you know, they were looking to get Zay back, but they're not going to pay a safety $17 million. It wasn't happening.
Yeah. I think my guess was, what did I say? 4 years, $80 million, 55 guarantee. So I was way off.
Whatever. Yeah. So, Yeah, the number, from what I understand, was around 14. That's what they were looking to go.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Packers came up with 17. Zay was looking for like 18, 17, 19, right around there. He got the 17.
Yeah.
And
God, I guess if I was his agent, I would have said go for 20, because that's where I thought they were. I had no idea. I just thought that's where they were going. But by the end of the day, yeah, listen, we lost McKinney, lost Barkley, but you said it. They're investing in certain positions, and running back and safety don't cut it, no matter how much you think of McKinney. And you know, also with the new defensive coordinator coming in, the safety being featured, I just thought McKinney was a natural easy
decision.
They
want him back, Jerry. They want him back.
No, but... and I get it. I wasn't like the walk over the bridge. They just took Daniel Jones, losing my mind mad. It was like, ah, man, all right, here we go. Let's see what happens. And they bring in two guards. And by the end of the day, it was a positive day, Chris. My God. Bringing in Brian Burns. But we have our guests waiting backstage, two of them.
I'm gonna bring them in.
There we go. What's up, guys?
What's up, fellas? Oh,
man, we How made we it doing? To the big leagues, man. We made it to
we
the
made
big
it.
Leagues.
We made it.
Eli Spiro in the
What's
house.
What's up, Chris?
Where's your
What's
boy?
Up,
where's your third party?
Yeah, he's going to be fashionably late. He's
fashionably late, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, it's El Chefe today. You know, that's what you guys
El Chefe. I did a little barbecue myself today, a little late.
Good for you. It's a beautiful day out.
So, Eli, if you want to introduce yourself and Spiro the way you're always doing your podcast, feel free, bro.
So yeah, man. Of course, man. It's your boy Eli Rax, aka Vibes, man. Of course, I'm hanging out with the Giant Insider, and of course, I got my brother, Mr. Glass Half Full, is gonna be up next. Introduce yourself, brother.
What's up, everybody?
I can't pull that off. So nice job, Eli.
If you nasty,
we couldn't have pulled that off.
No. Yeah, and that's me. If you nasty now,
he's got the perfect MC voice flow, that's why he's. It just doesn't feel right whenever he's not there.
Thank you.
I actually watched it last night, and I thought, I'm going to practice this. I'm like, it's just going to come off so corny.
It can't be replicated.
No.
Never duplicated.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, no appreciate you jumping on and, you know, Hefe coming a little bit. Appreciate you having you on. We love your work. You know that, guys. You know,
we love you guys.
I've been on your podcast. It's all good stuff. You know, you guys are very popular. You do a great job, let me tell you. So. But gentlemen, before you know, you guys came on. Me and Jerry were talking about the events of Monday, the legal illegal tampering period. You know, it's amazing, fellas. How the tampering period starts at 12 o'clock on Monday. The Andre Swift was done about 15 seconds later.
Yeah,
The NFL with this illegal tampering.
It's just a joke.
So they got to look into that down the road, because these deals are done at the combine. They were done this month. Anyway, fellas, we're going to get your opinion.
I agree.
You know, we were talking about Saquon, you know, obviously, and Zay McKinney. So, you know what, guys, you know, what did you feel? How did you feel about Saquon? We'll start with Saquon. I'm going to get into something with McKinney in a little bit, but we'll start with Saquon. Guys, how did you feel when the news broke? Did you think Saquon was going to stay, or did you feel he was on his way out?
You want to go first?
Geddy,
if you don't mind, it's up to you.
Yeah, jump in.
Listen, I'll tell you this, man. I'll tell you this, right? You know, at the end of the season, when they do their final interviews and et cetera, I believe it was in the media, right? I mean, you guys can agree or not, or let me know, but Saquon didn't meet with those guys. He was like, they know where to find me, basically. You know what I mean? So right there was kind of a writing on a wall for me that, okay.
Yeah, I was right there when he said trouble. That, yeah.
I remember you were there. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So I thought that was trouble in paradise, you know, then at that time. So, you know, just how that transpired and him saying that, I was just like, okay, you know, he's not going to come back. I mean, I kind of knew him, my plums. I wanted him to. I love him. He's one of my favorite players being on his team at the time. So, you know, I just like, you know what? I don't know if he's going to come back, man. This thing is probably 70-30 right now that he's probably gone. And so be it, man. You know, he got out of Dodge, and I think the Eagles paid the money that he was looking for. And I think it was too rich for the Giants at the end of the day. You know, at this point, it sucks to see him go, but we wasn't doing much winning with him here. You know, so, you know, it was just time, and it ran its course. And like I said, he got paid, man. So, more power to him. You're an Eagle. We can't root for you no more, buddy. Sorry, Saquon. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I echo that. For me, I was ready. It was like a toxic – watching, you know, one of your good friends back in high school and him being in it. You like the girlfriend. You like your best friend. But it was a toxic relationship they just were better off, right, like apart. And it got to the point where it's just like they tried. They kept trying to stay together. And then it just was like, you know what? They both had realized they need to go their separate ways. And I think it was a mutual thing. I hate where he landed, you know. But listen, if that was the highest offer, which I don't even know if it was the highest offer. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. Texans maybe might have had a higher offer. Is that
I heard true? Texans were like 11 plus, and then the Eagles came in with a little bit higher. Okay, that's what okay. I heard.
So, all right. So he took the highest offer. Can't blame the man for that. But, you know, it was unfortunately for Saquon, he's the face of Gettleman and the losing. And unfortunately, it all fell on him. And he needed a fresh slate. The Giants needed a fresh slate. We always talk about invest in the running game, not the running back. So we were fine with it. You know, we were fine. I was personally generally fine with the way they went about it. And they just don't, like you said, Chris, just before, they don't value the running back that much. We're learning now. This is now Joe Shane's actual team. We're learning what he values most.
It was almost shocking to see the Eagles do it too. Of all the teams to do it, right. It's kind of surprising that they did it. Like a team that has valued the line so much and kind of done it the way that you should do it, all of a sudden they made that move. And Chris, real quick before we go on, since we're on the Saquon subject, two giant goofballs ask what Led Zeppelin song sums up best how you felt. This is an easy one. Hey, what can I do? So there you go, Chris. Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I guess so, right? Hey, what can you do?
So for those of you who don't know, Chris asked me top five. I said, hey, what can I do is up there. And Chris was like, you're not a Zeppelin fan. So for those of you who don't know that joke. So
you
know, anyway.
I want to ask you guys, does it feel like, you know, and we were talking about this on another show earlier today. Does it feel like you could say once a Giant, always a Giant about Saquon Barkley?
No.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm not mad at that because that's the same thing we were saying today. Is it once a Giant? It doesn't apply. It has to be like
there's no sustained success.
Right. And I don't think he made a significant dent. Like it's just one playoff, and he missed a lot of games, unfortunately. And
gentlemen, I'm going to ask you guys. Even Jerry, you could jump in this.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to. If I had to ask you guys, who had their heart in it more, actually coming back to being a Giant again? Xavier McKinney or Saquon Barkley, who would you tell?
McKinney hands down,
without a doubt.
Jerry,
because he came back, right? He came back with to get another offer from the Giants.
Yes,
I don't think McKinney had the axe to grind as much as Saquon, so I would say McKinney barely, but not a lot.
Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not knocking Saquon. I always love Saquon. I'm not one of those guys. Now he's not there. No, sure. Saquon was this. Saquon was that. That's bullshit. Saquon's a class act. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But, gentlemen, he didn't truly have his heart in being a Giant coming back this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I could tell you that right now. What happened to him last year, he just did not like, okay? Now, I'm not saying if the Giants came in and offered him 12-plus and then with the guaranteed he wasn't coming back. Of course he was. But Saquon had no problem moving on, okay? Wow. It wasn't like he sat there and he didn't even go back to the Giants and say, listen, the Eagles offered me 12.
Yeah.
Guys, you want to kick up to 10, 11? We could work on guarantee. We could work in it. It was over. He just
right.
Went. Wow. He was gone. You know what I mean? So Saquon did not like what happened to him last offseason. Okay. And I hate to say this, but Saquon, and you guys know because you follow, I've been saying this for 2 years. His agents effed him big time last year.
Oh, no.
And you guys saw the stuff I put on Twitter. Change your agent. She is screwing you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. He finally did. He didn't get. He basically turned down the contract he got from the Eagles 2 years in 22 from the Giants. He basically turned that down. This is basically what he got from the Eagles. Maybe a little bit more here and there, whatever. But he basically turned down the same contract, right? So Saquon, look, guys. I don't know if you remember this, but when Saquon finally, when he reported, right? He didn't hold out. He reports, and he's up and he's at the podium and he's talking to us, right? At camp, and I remember he said, well, you know, I was thinking about holding out, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you remember, I asked him, I said, Saquon, hold on. I'll never forget. It was like, no more questions. I was like, well, hold on, wait a minute. And the PR guy goes, okay. And I said, Saquon, are you saying you would actually hold out the beginning of the season? Is that what you mean? And he looked at me. I don't know if you remember this, guys. He went, he looked at me, he goes, I was. You remember, Jerry, when he did that?
Yeah, I do. I remember that. Yep.
And I remember.
I said to myself, fellas, right there, I said to myself, whoa, he's going to play this year because Saquon's a class act. He wasn't going to hold out. and he was going to play under the tag and all that. But I'm saying to myself, right then, fellas, I said, he's not happy.
Yeah.
And if something happens in the next year, he's going to walk. You know,
why does it feel like he's salty about the Giants, though? Right. Like,
because, I'm going to tell you this. And I was just talking with Jerry Bliss before you came on the air. And I love, look, this is not a knock on Saquon. I am not.
Sure.
And real quick, Chris, so people know you've sung his praises through the years as a locker room leader.
Saquon
takes the losses hard. He's a giant, blah, blah, blah. So go ahead.
A leader in a locker room, a class act all the way. I love Saquon. Always will. Always will. Mm. But, fellas, Saquon also feels he's an absolute great running back that should be paid like it. And what I mean by that is, like, he's like that McCaffrey type, 16. Mm. He feels he's the same way, and that's the way he should be paid. And, guys, this is the bottom line. Saquon Barkley is a very good back. He is not a great back. Mm. You could disagree, whatever. I'm just telling you my opinion. He is not Christian McCaffrey is a great back.
That's a damn great back.
Saquon is not a great back. That's the bottom line. And he was not getting that money. He didn't get it 2 years ago. He didn't get it in this free agency. He actually wanted to get into this free agent market to see how high he could go. And if he get close to Christian, he didn't get close to Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And because he's not Christian. Okay. He's not, he's a very good back. Not a great, he's not an Adrian Peterson in his prime and all that stuff. So God bless him. He did get his money and all that stuff, but Saquon always felt he was the best back in the league and he should be paid like it. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Okay. So he's not. Okay. So, but God bless him. He'll move on to Philadelphia. Guys, I remember back in the day when Bavaro played for the Eagles. You know what I mean? It happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
It's disgusting.
That was towards the end of his career, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah. No, it was the end of his career.
He wore that horrible number 84 for them, too.
Right. I blocked it out of my brain almost. Yeah. So that.
Carl Banks played for the Redskins for a few. I mean, I still break Carl's chops about that. You know, I can't believe the freaking Redskins. You know what I mean? So it happens. I get it happens, but. That's the way it is.
And the difference with those guys is they put in so much more time too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Won. They won here.
That's a good point. But like Jesse Armstead, right? He finished his career with the Redskins, right?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't think of that. But he put in so much time, was an absolute warrior and played so many years. Saquon played what? 6 years, six years. And he didn't 1,000 yards three times, was injured for a lot of it. Guys, we're gonna take a break real quick. We're gonna be back with the folks from New York Revival, guys. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris Nobody Beats the Biz Ignano and Eli and Mr. Glass Half Full Spiro from New York Revival. All right. So we talked about Saquon. If we want to talk about McKinney, we can. I want to kind of pivot to some positives, right? And signing guards and bringing in Brian Burns. And, you know, what were your thoughts there, guys? Like, just lay it out there. Like, were you as stunned as I was that Brian Burns was a thing? Like, and Chris, maybe you knew, but I was going back and forth. I wasn't going to bother you that day, but it was like, Brian Burns, like, where'd this come from?
Well, let me quickly, and then you guys could jump in, okay? One of the reasons why they weren't going to go very high with McKinney is because the Brian Burns thing was in the works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This just didn't happen Monday afternoon. We call up Dan Morgan. Let's do this. Okay. No, this was in the works. I heard about this like 5 or 6 days after the tag, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Brian Burns thing was in the works. So, guys, if people don't understand, Joe knew he was going to be paying an edge guy big money. It was coming down the pike. It was in the works. It looked like it was going to happen. It happened. So Joe knew he was going to have to give that money to the edge guy. He was only going to give so much to McKinney. They wanted McKinney back, guys. They wanted McKinney even reached out to them. Okay.
Yes.
McKinney wanted to be back.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. Like the Giants had a number and it wasn't going to go to 17. They had to pay the edge. It was behind us. They knew they were going to be paying Brian Burns. They knew this was coming down the pike. This was in the works for Brian Burns and they just weren't going to pay the safety like McKinney. Even as talented as X is, they weren't going to pay him that money, man. They were paying the edge guy. They knew it was coming. They knew it was going to work out this deal. It was a very good chance to work it out. As we all know, Monday they worked it out.
Yeah.
Getty. No,
I totally agree. I mean, just to make this clear, because I said on Revival that, hey, we had the scoop before it was even released a few days before. No, the Biz is not the source, guys. Relax. You guys are in my DMs saying, hey, Chris is the source. He is not. He is a great friend of mine, but he's not the source. And if he was – you never know anyway. But here's the point. Yes.
You're good in this business, buddy. You'll be I'm very working. Good.
You taught me. You taught me. But that's another conversation. That's another conversation. But all honesty speaking, yes, this was in the works. So, you know, you understand that Xavier McKinney wasn't going to get that type of money because we knew Brian Burns was going to come in here and then we're going to have to pay him as well to extend him. Great contract. You're playing for that player that's going to come in and give you that disruption that you're looking for in that line. So with him coming down and being paid that contract, and he's a tender age of 25, 26, I believe, next month, this guy's going to come in and wreck things. And what about Kayvon Thibodeau as well that's going to help him out in that area as well? Kayvon should come alive because you got another person that's going to wreck the game as well. And his defensive coordinator that we have now, it's going to remind you of the Perry Fuel, the Steve Spagnuolo. And I'm not trying to say those are the shoes he has and he fits them, but I'm telling you, as far as like that front four going after it and then playing a run as a secondary, you got to love this signing. You got to love this trade here, guys. I'm telling you, it's going to be that New York Giants of old. I loved it. I love every minute. Like, that penny is going to be well worth it. At least I hope and I expect it to be. But again, man, I wish Xavier McKinney so much luck, man. Again, to pay him that much, I don't think – talented guy. I'm not trying to poo-poo on him, but I think you can find another safety via the draft or maybe a veteran outcoming free agency and do the job for you, because that front is going to get to that quarterback this year, in my opinion. But correct me if I'm wrong.
And I'm going to go out on a limb right now, guys. I will say it. You can laugh at me months from now. I'm a huge Dane Belton fan. I've been for about a year now. I know that he's not been in the good graces all the time, but when he's in, he makes plays. I'm not saying he's McKinney, but I'm telling you right now, I'm rooting for Dane Belton. I love his game. It is what it is. Laugh at me 5-6 months from now, whatever. So.
You know it's going to help Dane Belton, a great pass rush.
Right.
That's going to make Dane Belton even better.
Oh, yeah. It helps anyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, someone's appearing, folks.
You know, look who it is.
Uh-oh. How we doing, boys?
Grace, that's impressive.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
Jerry and the Biz. How we doing, man?
Welcome.
Thanks for
good now. Man.
We just got into some Barkley stuff, and we're getting into McKinney stuff, and Brian Burns and all the good stuff that's been happening, brother. So,
love it.
You know what, Hefe, since you just jumped in, brother, let's get you quickly, you know, let's get your Barkley reaction. You know, what did you think when it happened? Did you think Saquon would be back? Were you surprised? Give us all the stuff you were thinking.
Little shock factor that he goes to the Eagles, obviously, but I thought the Giants did the right thing by not giving him that deal. It's from what I heard, they didn't even offer a deal when he got a few from the outside. So I like, I'm down. I like the Giants' stance on this. This is kind of what I was hoping for. As great a player as Saquon is, the Giants are in a different place than the Eagles. I feel like that's a luxury position to pay, and the Giants are just not there. So I really like what the Giants have done so far in free agency. And
the level-headedness is really just overwhelming. Like, it seemed like it was Twitter and social media and everything wasn't as insane as I thought it was going to be. I mean, look, everybody's made it with the Eagles, but what everyone's opinion seems to be, all right, we knew this was going to happen. It sucks went to the Eagles. It is what it is. But go ahead, Hefe. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. That's it. But I fully expect Saquon to get booed every time he touches the ball when he plays in MetLife. Sure. And as much as some fans will still – love and respect him, I think drunk Giant fans are different.
I want to ask you guys this real quick. What does this signing say for Philly? Are they doing this to get the best out of Hurts? Are they doing this to stick it to the Giants?
Can I go first on that?
Go for it, Jer. What do you got?
Yeah.
They traded up to get Devontae Smith. They sat their players so we wouldn't win the division. There's another one in there. He sets the guard market Monday morning by signing Landon Dickerson. Okay. So if you don't think there's an element of getting at the Giants, which is what really needles me living, you know, exit 8 off the turnpike around so many Eagle fans, and you're crazy. Like it's an extra element for them. So it's not the sole reason, but it is an extra, we got him again.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have to think that.
It's almost like they knew what they needed to do, but if they stick it to the Giants in the process, it's all the better. Bonus. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
You know, it's the Giants or Dallas or Washington. Yeah. The division, if they can stick it to the division opponent,
Seems like it happens with us more. That's
You know what? The Giants, it's up to the Giants now, front office personnel to turn that around.
Right.
It's got to beat the Eagles.
We've been on the losing end.
How you turn it around is that you start
drafting better plays. It's not beating them on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Gettleman was slow at the switch with the Devonta Smith thing, right? He was slow at the switch. I mean, you know, he's the only guy that didn't see it coming. They do it, you know?
He fell asleep.
That's the great thing with it. It seems like, so, as you know, Art Stapleton said this, like, Shane won't lie to you, but he won't tell you that he just keeps his mouth shut. Mm-hmm. He goes about his business like an assassin behind the scenes and gets the job done. We didn't see the Waller trade coming. Like we didn't see Kayvon getting drafted. So I have no clue what they're going to do at six right now. And I love it. Like I have no clue. Are they going to trade up? Are they, you know, you heard rumors they like the quarterback, but like,
we don't know, guys.
Yeah, we don't know which one.
Guys, I don't know. I don't care. Well, who goes out there and is saying crap? Yeah. Oh, we hear this. Oh, sources are saying. Nobody knows what the hell they're thinking in that draft.
You know what else, Biz? Is they don't even know because they don't know what's going to happen in front of them yet.
Exactly.
They're trying to plan for all these different scenarios. So how do they know what they're going to do if they don't know who's available?
I had a friend of mine tell me the other day. He was in the building, and he was in the cafeteria. And a lot of guys came walking in. I'm not going to name a lot of guys from the Giants came walking in. That players, you know, personnel, front office people. And J.J. McCarthy's name popped up. And there's a guy I know goes, yo, I'm hearing a lot of stuff about J.J. And the guy looked at him and goes, look, we haven't even started putting a draft board. We don't even know where the hell this shit comes from. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we look at J.J. Yeah, he's pretty good player, but we don't know what the hell, you know, they haven't even started their draft board yet.
Free agency first,
you know what I mean? It's free agency first, you know, and so it's funny, like, you just don't know what they're thinking. That's what makes this sport great, right, guys? One team is going to evaluate this guy one way, and another team is going to evaluate him another way, and all that stuff, you know, so we don't know what's going to happen, you know what I mean? You know, I know people out there, the Giants are really hot on J.J. McCarthy. They're going to go with him at six if he's there. Oh, really? okay. You know?
And that's mostly because one person in the media says it, and then everyone picks up on it, and they're like, oh, they must be right. They must know something. And like you said,
they probably like a lot of these guys. There's a lot to like about all these quarterbacks. You don't know which one's going to be there. They like May. They like Caleb. They like, you know, like Daniels. They like J.J. I don't know about Penix. That's the one I don't know. That's the wild card for me. But of course they like him.
Yeah.
But
one thing, you know, guys, one thing Joe Shane said at his presser in the combine, it caught my ear a little bit when he said, hey, there's a lot of good guys in a second round talent, third round quarterback talent. You remember when he said that? Mm-hmm. And I kind of like, whoa, you know, I kind of like, okay, you know, because Shane, he doesn't really tell you much. He doesn't really bullshit. But at his presses, sometimes you pick up on things, you know?
What else? He said, we're going to look at the draft and free agency. They got their free agent. We're gonna look at him in the draft too. He said both. He got it right. They got Locke. And I want to ask you guys: does that change anything? Does Locke change any plans?
No.
I don't think so. Either.
Look, guys. I could tell you this, guys. They're looking to get a quarterback. They're looking to get a quarterback. Whether or not they could pull this off, in with New England or whoever it might be, you know, whatever it might be, Chicago, New England. They're gonna try to get a quarterback. Okay.
For those not on YouTube, Spiro is praying. Go ahead, Chris.
If they grade one of these kids out at six overall talent, like a JJ or argument's sake, whatever, somebody else, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That they'll go with it. But they're looking to get a quarterback. They've inquired with the top three teams, fellas. Chicago, Washington, and New England. They've inquired about what would take to move up. Okay. So they're looking. They're looking. Of course, you know, Joe's never going to say that because if it doesn't happen, he looks like an idiot. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, no. And they're going to, you know, of course, they're going to, the best player available. You know, we're going to look at this. All different positions. You know, of course, that's the answer they're going to give you, you know. But they are. They've inquired already about what it would take to move up.
I truly believe that's why Locke is here. Locke is here for insurance. He's Geico, baby. Totally. In case everything falls through, no trade, you got yourself
Locke. E, what's up, E?
Hey, that's what I want to know. But Biz, quick question. If you feel like if they can't get a top three, if they can't trade up to get it, do you think they'll really take a quarterback at six at that point?
That's a great question.
I think they go wide receiver. Wide receiver.
Because if they're trying to move up, why would they take a quarterback at six? You're settling.
I just said that earlier today. I agree.
I don't think they have a kid graded out number six overall. Quarterback.
I don't think so.
From what I hear, they do like Drake May a lot, but
I don't know if they like Daniels better than May, you know, like that and all that stuff. But look, me personally, I think if it doesn't work with those top three, if those, obviously Chicago looks like they're going to go Caleb, it looks like definitely Washington's going to go quarterback. New England could be a wild card in us, but it looks like they're going to go quarterback. To me, they go wide receiver at six if it's if this doesn't work for them to move up. That's what I'm feeling.
And Adunze or Neighbors, who would they? Who do you think they like a little more?
I think they.
I'm good with either one.
I'm what good. A great, what a great.
I don't know. Yeah. I think they love both. I think.
Yeah.
If I had to go with one, Spiro, I'm gonna go with Adunze. That's who I'm gonna go with.
Mm-hmm. That seems like one.
Fit, yeah, I agree with that. Man, Biz is the man, man. I swear,
you're nailing it. Like, you're nailing
it's it. It's a Staten Island thing. I don't know what it is.
Absolutely, when the hell you take me to Danino's, guy? You're like 10 minutes from now, aren't you?
Listen, man, whenever you're ready, come to the island and we'll go there, man.
I'm on the island all the time, but I'm on the South Shore. I know you people think we're all on our own little place in the South Shore. Yeah, I know how you start. I know you guys in Staten Island. The South Shore Staten Island is weird. They're on their own little island.
That's the outer bridge. That's the outer bridge, right? All right, that's all I know. Okay, South Shore is outer bridge. And I can't believe that the guy's – I can't believe the guy's name was Outer Bridge. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
It's named after a guy.
It's not an Outer Bridge. That's his name.
Right. I thought it was the Outer Bridge from Jersey.
Wait,
I was like, what?
That's what I thought, too.
Yes.
That was the cat's name, yeah.
Well, you know.
There you go. I thought that was a dad joke right there.
No.
Gentlemen, let's get into some more free
agency. Nice.
Please. Dad joke. Splash, right? They got Brian Burns. We all know that. But they also addressed the offensive line, right? Something that Shane said he was basically going to do, right? We got to get some guys in here. So they go out and they sign a guy, $10 million, John Runyon Jr., right? And they go and they also signed the tackle, Jermaine E. I'm going to call him like
sure.
I'm never going to try to run him all, whatever. E. But you know, so to me, all right, I'm going to give what I take out of this, okay? And I put this on Twitter the other day. I think Evan Neal's going to go into camp as the right tackle, but I think it's going to be a very short leash, okay? Because you got Jermaine there. I think it's going to be if Neal looks like Neal, I hate to say it, get him inside. Get Jermaine on the right tackle, okay? That's the way I think.
Brasillo's boy, too.
That's you're right.
Yeah, right. That's right.
That's the way the Raiders. That's the way I look at it. Look, Jermaine played guard a lot for the Ravens. Play tackle for the Vegas. He could do both. I love his excitement. I mean, you look at him on Twitter, right? The dude, like, he's so excited. By the way, Brian Burns, we were on with Burns this afternoon on a Zoom, and, man, he's fired up, too. He's another guy. He's, like, fired up to be here. He can't wait to get rolling. You know, he thinks him and Tibbs are going to be a very good combo. And he, I don't know if you guys saw, but he told us, he goes, man, we got a bunch of dogs on this team. We got got dogs that are next to me with Dex. Tibbs, and he goes, and we got a dog as a linebacker. We all know he's talking about Bobby, right? So, he's really pumped up too. But Jermaine, guys, I'm sure you've seen it right on Twitter. This guy is fired up. It seems like he's throwing a tweet out there every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be good
fantastic. He was genuine too.
Let's get the Evan Neal. Do you feel he's the right tackle going into camp? Do you think he's the guy, or they just slide him over to guard from day one? What do you think? How you feeling about that?
I'll let you guys go first,
man. Yeah,
I agree with you. I think he's going to get the nod at the beginning of camp. You know, you were our seventh overall pick. You were born a tackle. Well, then fucking play like a tackle. Let's see it, man. And it's his job to lose, basically. And like you said, now we have other people and other options. So if you're not cutting it, then he's going to go to guard or the bench. They're not going to let him just be a turnstile out there. I think he played some guard in Alabama, didn't he?
Neal did, yeah.
He played all over.
So that I remember that being one of the things that was attractive about him coming in is versatility. So he seemed last year like he was pissed at the idea of playing guard. But if you want to survive in the NFL, sometimes you got to do that. So whatever's best for the Giants, I don't care. I mean, it would be disappointing because that guy was slated to be like our tackle for the next decade. Like when we drafted him, that's what you thought. You thought you were getting another Andrew Thomas, and he hasn't been that. So he's got one more chance. Like, this is it. And we said it the other night, he's eligible after this year for an extension, right? He's got to be more motivated than ever to play his best football. So he's got to come in with an edge. And if he works out, then our line becomes that much better because then that guy can go play a guard. So hoping it works out for him.
Yeah, man. Listen, his own GM that drafted him at 7 put his ass on blast right after the season. He said, you know, he's like, he's got to do better. He's got to do better. He put him on blast. And then he shows him, hey, I'm going to light a fire under your ass and sign someone that's ready to take over your spot. So he's putting all the heat on Neil. And yeah, Victor says it's hard to switch. You've gotten 3 years now. I know it's hard, but you got to show something year three, man. And then stick him out there, give him his last shot, but you can't let him sink the season. You can't let Neil sink the season again and sink the offensive line and sink the offense. You gotta make the switch, and it'll be interesting to see right off the bat in camp how much they switch them out first unit and how much each rep gets. That'll be fun to watch.
Spear is saying, guys, Victor Perez says Neil's always played left tackle, changing from left to right. It's obscenely hard. And takes a lot of guys years to do it. And for me, if we didn't need a receiver and a quarterback, then a tackle might be in play.
It's all his excuses.
Let's go. You need to show some results, man.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying because of the experience with Neil, I'd be scared as hell of taking a left tackle in this draft. I mean, like, you're going to play right tackle now. That's all.
That's why you can't do that at 6, in my opinion. You can't roll the dice. You can't roll the dice.
You know, as far as Evan Neal and definitely I think he'll be out there this summer as far as playing right tackle. But at the end of the day, you know, that should tell you, man. Funny, I'm looking at it right now, how just draft picks are just educated guesses, right? At the end of the day, it's just like, wow, so no matter what. But at the end of the day, man, I think he's on a short leash. You know, it does take a while to get acclimated. That should show you certain players do take a little bit to get where they need to. Because when you look at Evan Neal's film through college, man, he was complete. He was a damn good tackle coming out there. So I really don't know what happened between there. So if this coach can't get him right as of right now this season, yes, then he's in trouble. But at least you got a little bit of an insurance policy coming off the bench or whatever the case is in the veteran. So we'll see, man. But I'm rooting for the kid. I'm really rooting for him, man.
Yeah.
Kevin nails it.
Kevin McWalter says 2 days versus Burns at practice, and Neil's going to be a guard. All right, guys, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back with the folks from New York Revival. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, you're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody Eats the Biz Bisignano, and we have the guys from New York Revival. They do a great job, and you know what? Most importantly, they spread a lot of positivity and good stuff on social media. You guys are awesome, and I have to point out, I know you guys do this too, Greg, thanks, buddy. Great stuff.
Hey, got to get the bell on that one. All right. Shout out
Greg. Anyway.
Thank you, Greg, but no question from Greg.
I know. Just straight up.
You got your money in, and you get your question.
Yeah, that guy's really great. He doesn't even have a question.
We call that a just because. Just because you're doing it.
Nice.
Cheers, Gregory.
So, Johnny Runyon, you know, the Packers, father played for the Eagles, and, you know, him and Strahan, old deal. Not a bad guard. Pretty good pass pro guard, I tell you, man.
Yeah.
Always kind of like, he plays left guard, right guard. So, you know, he'll do a lot of cross training in camp, too, with Jermaine and Neil and all that stuff. So, only two guys that will be set going into camp is going to be John Michael Schmitz and Angel at left tackle. Anybody else is going to be a cross training to cross. You know, don't forget, you got Azudu in the mix, too, but he's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, you got McKethan in the mix and all that stuff, you know, working in there. Yeah. Although I guess Joe agreed with me because I've been telling Jerry on his podcast for a while. I said, please, can we stop with the McKethan and Zudu? Stop. Yeah. When people are like, what next year? We got those two. Guys, please stop. If you look at
cut your losses.
He's a body.
You know, so obviously Joe was agreeing with me there. He brought in Runyon and, you know, and Jermaine and all that stuff. And look, you got draft picks too coming up, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not quarterback, fellas, like I said, I think they go receiver. E, you think they go receiver at 6 if it's not a quarterback in the first round? E, go ahead. Receiver?
Yeah, you know, in the first round,
receiver,
man.
Edge, go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, if it's not a quarterback, man, they're definitely going to go a wide receiver, in my opinion. It's just a matter of it's either neighbors or the other gentleman there. But listen, man. I think the Giants have to be sold on a guy. This at this point in this time in their tenure, as far as Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they cannot play around when it comes to a quarterback. So if you go get your guy, and if he's not there, then okay, we're going to try to figure out something for the next season or a possible veteran at this point. Can't get too cute. So at that point, if you can't trade up, best player available, and I think it'll be actually that number one receiver we are finally going to have and give Daniel Jones a little bit more of a target to throw out there. And let's see what happens. You cross your fingers and just pray that everything goes well.
E, do you think – E, I'm going to ask each one of you guys. E, do you feel the Giants have moved on from Daniel Jones?
Biz, you want to know something crazy, Biz? And you could correct me here, Biz, because I've been getting, I'm not correcting. I'll give you my opinion first, and then I'll go another notch here. I think they moved on from Daniel Jones for sure, but as I talk to certain people behind the scenes of it, I hear different stories, so I'm not really sure. Biz, I don't know. Maybe you can give your opinion as well. But I think the Giants actually moved on from the quarterback position.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been saying it.
At least I would want them to. Because it's just the best ability is availability. And if let's it cannot be way. There, you got to move on.
Let's put it this way. When Daniel played last year, there was a lot of stuff he put on film they didn't like. That I could tell you. Mm. Okay? There was stuff that he put on film that they just didn't like. Okay? Now, do I feel they moved on from him? Yeah, but at the same time, if this quarterback thing doesn't work out, guess what? Daniel's the quarterback next September, right? So we got to get this guy better. Yeah. What better guy to do it than Daboll? We've seen that in 2022, right? We've seen Daniel play well. Do I think they've moved on and they want their own guy? Yes, absolutely. If it doesn't work, then guess what? Hey, Daves, this is your guy now, right? We're not going with Drew Lock in September. This is your guy. Yeah. So we got to try to get that 22 Daniel back. Right, looks like they'll get him that outside threat, that X guy, right? And then we gotta try to get this guy because he's our guy in 24. Spiro, have the Giants moved on from Daniel? You feel?
Yes, I'll go to my grave thinking this, but I think that ultimately, in their heart of hearts, DJ was a favorite to Mara and the higher ups. Kind of when they came in, they said, listen. We're going to give him a deal. There's an out in 2 years. We're going to give him essentially his fifth year. And you know, the fifth year looked disastrous, you know, right off the bat before he got hurt. And then you sprinkle on a second neck injury and an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to see that they're just done. And they're why not? You know, for job security purposes, why not at least have a great safety net, you know, to – in case now you can play both sides of it, and they're playing it great in the media. They say they still love him. They say he's the starter in case things fall apart and you have to go back to him. And you know they will go back to him. But he is now the backup plan. DJ, I think in my mind, is clearly the backup plan.
Yeah.
And one thing about Runyon got screwed. By the way, Runyon got screwed because he was the first signing when we expected Hunt or Owenu, and Giants fans were all excited. And then they see John Runyon come up and everybody was so deflated. We didn't see the bigger plan yet. So Runyon, solid signing. It was underrated because of when he signed. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with you guys. That Robert Hunt contract was insane. Oh, it's
ridiculous.
And who was the other big guard? Who's the other big guard they signed to? Another, there was the two guards that got ridiculous contracts. Dickerson. Yeah, there was another guard, though, a free agent signing.
Jonah?
Who?
No. Jonah Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was Jonah Jackson. He signed in Carolina, too, right? I got to look. Signed. Anyway, signs, yeah. There was two. I was like, wow, Robert Hunt got that money? I couldn't believe it.
Oh, Hunter? Can I jump in on
Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones.
Real quick.
Do you think they moved on?
Tell us how you really feel.
I think for the first time, they're planning for life beyond Daniel Jones. Instead of this red carpet treatment that he has had, he's never had, like, even when there was no reason to pick up his fifth year option. Like, that was public. They could have picked up his fifth year. They said, we haven't seen enough to do that. Let's roll the dice with him. But you bring in Tyrod, who has been an NFL starter. In my opinion, why not make that a competition right from the beginning? Like, they do that sometimes at camp. Let the best man win. And you can make the argument Tyrod had a better camp. So it's interesting what would have happened that way. But at this point, you got Drew Lock coming in. The money for Daniel Jones is spent either way, right? So you want to put your best football team out there. I don't think Lock is any kind of long-term answer. But if you're looking for a veteran bridge, why not say, if DJ is completely healthy, that this is a competition? And if nothing else, let the best man win, because I think it's clear what their plan is. The only thing that's kind of hanging over them and Biz, maybe you know more about this, the injury clause. I wonder if that is weighing on them. If DJ has another season-ending injury, he's owed like another full 40, 50 in the following year. Like that is what, that is not how the contract was meant to be structured.
No.
You know? So, and I don't know how, man, this was a bad contract, guys. Like it was bad. And that injury clause makes it worse because the injury thing was a concern and his agent managed to dance around that issue and completely secure a huge bag on top of getting an outrageous annual rate for DJ.
But so Jeff, let's just make it bad for 1 year, right? You can it only has to be bad for this year. It wasn't bad year one. It's going to be bad now. But let's end it here, right? It makes it a little bit less bad if you end it here.
So real quick, I got a question for you guys. I just want to give a shout out to Greg who donated before. He said, follow all your content on Twitter. I listen to every podcast. Love Shane's retooling to high value positions outside of quarterback. Good stuff, Greg. Completely agree. Guys, I got a question for you still on quarterback. I know what the answer is for Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams. Out of Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and Penix, forget about where they're taken, second round.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the three, without even seeing him play, would you rather them be the quarterback of the Giants? I'm just curious what your thoughts are, because I'm hearing a lot of, well, any of them are going to be better. I just want to know what you guys think.
You know what?
Without even watching him play.
I'll start, man. Without even watching him play,
so like right now, like right now, if you had to make the decision,
I'm going with Penix, and the reason why is that the velocity and etc. on that ball, it seems like a real true pocket passer per se, and it seems like the Giants actually bolstering up the offensive line to give the quarterback some time. So I think the Penix is a little bit more accurate, got a little more velocity on the ball when it comes to the Meadowlands and windy days and etc. I just think he's able to scramble just a tad to get out the way, moves in the pocket just a little bit, but I will go with Penix in a long explained answer.
Then I hope the new guys right tackle. That's all.
Yeah.
Right. If that's the case. At some point.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah,
I'm going to say for me, the year one, if you want to win now, Penix. Long term, J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is just scratching the surface. We've seen 60% of what this guy could do. And it feels like it's Dable's perfect kind of player. He can run. He's got a nice arm. He takes chances. And I think in the long run, when Dable gets his hand on this bowl of clay that is J.J. McCarthy, he's going to mold him into exactly what he needs. And I think his high end, I think we're seeing already Penix is a great passer. Best pocket passer in the draft. But I think we're seeing him close to his ceiling in terms of how much better he can get. I think J.J. McCarthy, we're not even close. You're not even scratching the surface. So he gives me a little bit higher ceiling. Lower floor, Penix, you know, higher floor.
I'd probably go JJ too, just because, like, I do like them both for different reasons that you guys laid out. But Penix comes with, like, JJ has a little more unknown, where that's where you trust Dable to get the best out of him and develop him. But he's got a little more athletic ability, which I like. But Penix comes with a right tackle concern, as he's a lefty. And then his injury history, which just, even though he checks out a little bit, that is a lot of baggage to start your career with. So that comes with a little more risk. Like for those reasons, I'd probably go JJ if those top three are out of the picture. But I think your original question is, would you sign up for basically any of them over what we have now?
Yes.
And my answer is still yes. What we've been doing, what we've been doing hasn't worked. Right. And to me, Daniel looked broken mentally this past season, not just physically. He was not right upstairs, and that's very, very hard to fix. And you could tell by Dable's body language on the sidelines that he looked beyond frustrated. Like, this is not what I coached you. It was the look on
his face. Throwing shit at him.
And for what I understand, he was a little frustrated watching film on Mondays, too.
So Mark Bon Jovi, who is a cousin of John, says, would Penix be drafted over Jones in the same draft? Yes. Yeah. Other than Dave Gettleman, yes, absolutely.
I would think so.
it's hard, man. It's hard. Even if you took it from a football standpoint, I'd take all these quarterbacks. Then you throw on the injury risk. It's no doubter, guys. It's a no doubter. It's just how much do we love JJ, and how much do we love Penix? That's the real question. I don't know. What do you guys think about Bo Nix? Are you guys Bo Nix fans?
I liked what I saw during the season, but now like no one's going to his pro day. I'm like, oh my god,
that's a bad sign. How is not one GM?
I'm not the best.
You can't blame it all on free agency. Please,
no,
that was a little strange. I have to admit that. Let's put it this way: if that was JJ McCarthy at the same time, you think nobody would show up?
No, zero chance.
I mean, I don't.
So, I got an interesting one for you guys.
Yeah.
Talk about pro days. UNC's pro day and Washington's pro day is on the same day. Where does Joe Shane go?
Well, they'll whack it up, guys. You know, there'll be three guys there. One, but
where does Joe Shane go?
I'm gonna go with Drake May. Drake May. I think he's been at the four Drake May games this year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's been at those games.
If he goes to Washington, I think there's real general interest there. Whereas opposed, I don't think there is right now, but if he picks, because he's done his homework, I feel like, on Drake May, he knows what he's getting. If he goes to Washington on Penix's pro day, to me, that's a sign. It's like, all right, maybe there's a chance here. Where I thought right now, I think he's like their QB5. But if he goes there, if there's real general interest, that would have me pretty intrigued.
Guys, real quick, 1,700 people watching right
Holy
now.
Holy
yo, oh, that's
my lord!
Yeah, let's go.
We gotta have these guys on more.
Oh my god,
you guys are the stars. Come on.
So during the season, we do two podcasts. Maybe we have you on for one of them. You guys are good.
We'll do this again. We would love to be back on, and you know, vice versa. We'd love to get you guys on ours as well. So that'll be great. Yeah,
well, we're not done yet, Eli. So I don't know if that was a goodbye, but I kind of want to keep it a little bit.
Well,
do have a question.
Wrap it up.
Okay, sound like you were trying to get. Sound like you were trying to get out of here. Like, well, it's been a fun time. We'll see you on our podcast. Like, oh.
We've been burning it on both ends.
He's going to the emails, dude.
Jerry, this is our.
Hey, gentlemen, I got about something by you. All right,
is it really Jeff? Yeah, it's a fourth show.
Me and Spiro did one Monday, a free agency one, and then we did a regular Tuesday night. Big Blue UK.
No, this is.
I saw the Big Blue UK today too.
Yeah. This is our fourth show, and it's Wednesday night. I love it. This is what I want to do.
And look, and guys, these guys have little ones at home. Like, you know, Chris and our kids are old. They take care of themselves. But these guys, you got to put them to bed and bath them and stuff. Like, wow.
I was doing that 90 seconds before I got here.
When you start, you got to do it, bro. What the hell? Yeah. You know that.
Hey.
Grind.
This is our dream, man. So we're going after it, man. We love talking sports, Giants football particularly. So we could do this every day of the week. Shout out WFAN. Shout out Sirius. Shout out
Spiro, real quick. Spiro, I don't know, start trouble, but do you like to talk hockey, Spiro, as well, or no?
I'm kind of a big hockey fan. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I am ecstatic. Jerry, I think we won a division with that game last night.
It was a good game.
I don't want to draw any conclusions. Huge game. Huge win. Rangers back on track. Knicks on track. MSG is gonna be awesome. This
week. You named your thing revival. It kind of at the right time. Other than the Giants,
right? We thought we had it for a second too.
Yeah, we did. You know something crazy? We launched this New York revival when the New York football soccer, like the soccer team, they won their championship. FC. So we was like, oh, it's an omen. And then freaking the Giants started and we were like, oh, it's an omen. So New York sports started to come alive. The Knicks was in the playoffs, I think, that year as well. Yeah. So it just started to do, you know, extremely well. So I guess it's an omen, man. New York revival. I guess. Hey,
we gotta get a ship, though. We gotta get a ship.
Gotta get a what?
Next one, man.
We gotta championship. Get a ship. We gotta get a championship, baby.
That's millennial for championship.
I hate to tell you, Spiro, you're not gonna get either one. So anyway,
let me ask you this, Biz, because I think this is funny.
The Knicks ain't going, you know, now winning a championship. I mean, this, but I think they could probably not. I think they could do some damage.
Go ahead, Eli.
Rangers do the usual. So anyway.
Eli's got a question for Chris, actually.
So Chris, I want to paint this picture for the audience, actually, first, guys, because when we went to training camp last season, we saw the Biz there. We had the Biz on the show. We finally met him in person, and we presented him a no DJ slam.
Yes, guys.
The no DJ slander t-shirt. And he said, hey, I'm going to keep one for myself, and we're going to give one to Darius Slayton. And boy, did he. And he gave it to him, and he wore it Monday night for that Dallas game. I have a question, a long-winded question here. did Darius Slayton burn that shirt after all? That's one of let the viewers know. Did he burn that damn shirt right after the game? No, come on,
no, DJ's his guy.
No, no, DJ's his guy. Slay loves him. Oh, loves to...
That was awesome. There it is. That was the peak of the peak of the season. Literally, right before the game started.
I told you this back in camp. He was so excited when I told him that. I never forget when I told him. He goes, "Oh man, you gotta get that to me." You know, he was really excited. He says, "I'm gonna wear that." You know, and he did. He Darius is a great dude.
Listen, it didn't age very well, but number one, you're cool as hell for getting that to him. And number two, when we dreamt it up, it was like, man, a Giants wide receiver wearing our shirt would be just the coolest fucking thing in the world. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. And it happened. Like you helped make it happen for us. So like
my pleasure.
That was cool.
So, hey, guys, so I want to run some.
We appreciate you, honestly. Thank you.
No, you're welcome, brother. You're welcome. But, guys, you know, I wrote a column in the last Giant Insider, and I've been talking about it. And I want to get you guys feeling this. To me, this draft, Joe Sheehan's got to hit it out of the park, brother. Okay? We got to draft some damn impact freaking players here, man. You know, let's face it, right? I mean, and – I mentioned this. This is going to be his third draft, and this is going to be his third draft where he's had a sixth round or higher. Okay. First draft, he had a 5 and a 7.
Yeah.
Look, guys, right now, his seventh overall pick looks like he might even be in the league in a few years. Okay. We'll see if that changes this year. Look, he's always been a little banged up, Evan, so and all that, but he hasn't been good. Let's face it, right? Stop with the excuses. If you play, you have to produce. That's the way it is in this league. I'm sick of hearing excuses about going to left tackle, the right. Tristan Wirfs just went from right tackle to left tackle, and he played like an all-pro. So, please, I don't want to hear that crap anymore, okay? The bottom line is that he's a seventh overall pick, and he might be a big miss. He might not even be the right tackle this year where he was drafted, okay, as we know. So, and then you got Thibodeau, who was 5 overall. Now, Tibbs, nobody's giving up on him. Tibbs has been good. There's also been times where you sat there, I'm sure, guys, watching the game going, is Thibodeau playing? You know, there's been a lot of miss, a lot of been. Now, Thibodeau definitely has an upside. We know that. I'm not down on Tibbs, but he has to improve on certain aspects of his game. We hope Brian Burns will definitely help improve that.
Yeah.
But there is, look, guys, here's the bottom line. I know Tibbs had 11.5 sacks last year, right? But a lot of it was cleanup sacks too. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was coverage cleanup sacks. It wasn't just boom, I'm beating my guy 1-on-1. I'm there in 2 seconds. Boom. At quarterbacks now.
Facts. You're just talking facts.
Okay. I'm talking facts. As you guys know, Tibbs, I feel, will get better and better. Okay. But fellas, and I put this, you know, a fifth overall pick, 2 years in the league, this kid's got to be an impact guy. So here we are now, right? So the other players, Joe's, some nice players. Look, Wandell's going to be a real good slot kid. No doubt about it. Yep. Okay. But now you have the sixth overall pick, okay? So we got to start knocking some balls over the green monster. You hear that?
Yeah. Boston F-A-U fan, okay.
At Boston.
F-A-U Yankee fan. F-A-Z Yankee fan.
All right, over the green monster. You know, by the way, is Aaron George right? I heard he was a little beat up in spring training. He needs a couple of weeks off already.
guys, seriously, what is it? Baseball players. Cole. Oh my God. Anyway, go ahead.
It's always
I want to get your opinion. Hey guys, we need some impact guys. Joe, I'm looking at your drafts right now, and I'm not looking at one. You had one what Pro Bowl, a third alternate. Guys, you look what the Lions did last year. They had four high picks.
Yes.
They had one rookie, second team, all pro.
Yes.
Not the bullshit Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a popularity, players, fans, all that bullshit vote. All pro. Mm-hmm. You got Brian Branch. He's probably heading there someday, right? How did Gibbs do for them in that run? Pretty good. Campbell is going to be playing next to Alex, and Jack Campbell is going to be a very good impact player. Mm. Okay? What I'm saying is, Joe, we got to kick this up, brother.
Yeah.
This is your third draft. All right? We need some impact guys in here. I don't know how you guys feel about E, go first. How you feel about is this a very important draft for Joe Sheehan to really improve and fill up some holes in this roster, man?
extremely. And Biz, you hit the nail on the head. You know what I mean? When you start looking at the past draft picks that Joe Shane bought in, you're looking at Evan Neal, like you said, might not be in the league, right? If he doesn't get it together. And you're looking at Kayvon Thibodeau, where he was mostly impact during like the trash teams, unfortunately, lack of a better words, where the team wasn't as great. They were, you know, they wasn't superior at all. Especially when you compare him to like, you know, Aiden Hutchinson from the Lions, like that guy came in was an impact player. So when you start looking at it and you start looking at, okay, man, what's Joe Shane doing here? What is he building? Is he building a proper foundation? You got to go, no, or is it to be continued at this point? So at this particular draft, he has to draft the people that's going to come in to make that impact right away, right away. And I think, I don't want to say his job's on the line. I don't want to say none of that because I think he was dealt a very bad hand. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At this mm-hmm. point, but at this point, you got to start seeing results in some of your draft pick. And I mean, right away. We can't say, well, maybe if someone comes in and helps him, he'll do a little bit better. Oh, bringing in Burns and Kayvon can be a little bit better. You know what? If we switch Evan Neal, he could be a little bit better here. No, these guys have to earn their paycheck at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they're getting paid. Mm-hmm. They're professional athletes. Go out there and earn your pay. And if you can't do that, get me the person in here that's going to do it. So, Joe Shane, this is very important for you. This is going to mold your future here with the Giants franchise. And again, I'm not saying lose your job. I'm not. But I'm just saying if you have another year after this one, right, and you don't have that impact player where you go, you know what, we can build off this and continue to build around this roster, you might be in trouble. You just might be, at least from the fans' perspective, you might be in trouble. I don't know about the owner, but from the fans, they're going to want blood, man. So this is extremely, extremely, extremely important. Extremely important, hands down.
I agree with you. Go ahead, Spiro.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I were to grade his draft right now, it's a solid B. Like, you got some guys with potential. You know, Tibbs has the most potential. Wandale's got potential. Hyatt's got potential. John Michael Schmitz. You know, Neil, you know, brings that grade down, of course. But there's no stars. There's no stars, and we need to start seeing some stars. And they got to happen, like, right away. So it's a huge fork in the road draft, like he was saying. It's a fork in the road draft. It's not going to determine right away if he gets fired. But if he nails this draft, it sets this franchise and him up for possibly a long, fruitful career. And if he misses, it goes down the other path. And we start saying, hey, the leash is getting shorter. It's getting shorter, you know. So he's got to knock it out the park. And you got to give us something to really work with. We want that star potential somewhere. Get your alpha wide receiver. Get your quarterback. If you do those two things, I think a lot of fans are going to accept and love your draft. So, big fork in the road draft for Shane, in my opinion.
This upcoming one will, I feel like it's a major fork in the road for the Giants. This is either going to say, okay, you've got pieces, like the prior draft picks finally came together on one more good, solid draft. And now you've got a team and you're building and you're going in the right direction. You're not there yet, but at least you feel like you're on your way. But if this falls to shit, and a lot of it's going to come down to the quarterback position, if it falls away and you're at another 5 or 6 win season, it's going to get so loud. Like the pace, there is no patience. Dable already survived the 2-year curse of the last 3 coaches. So he got that third year. And I think year one pretty much was a pass. And they happened to strike a little gold in 2022. But this is such a big year, man. Like, you have to absolutely knock it out of the park, because there are draft picks every year in every round that turn into stars. You just got to find a way to grab some. Like, you look at the way San Fran drafts, like, year in and year out. Like, those guys are there. You know, you look back at when the Giants drafted, like, those guys were there. Anybody could have had them, but the right teams pick them for the right systems, and you've got to do that. And right now, I think Shane still has everything to prove. I'm a Dable guy. I still believe in him as the head coach, and that he can get his hands on a quarterback and develop in and turn him into a star. I think Shane has everything to prove still. After a good, the first year, I mean, there wasn't much wiggle room for him, but looking at his draft picks, the Daniel Jones deal, all of that, I think he's back to square one. And I think if he knocks it out of the park, good. Okay. Now you got a coach and a GM. Let's keep going.
Ironically, I think the leash on Dable though is shorter than Shane's. That's just me.
Typically,
You're right. You're right with everything you said, Jeff. Yep. But I believe that, and I, I mean, it's just that's because you're a coach rather than GM.
And Liam's right though. I left out Banks. Banks has star potential too. So we gotta give him a
shot. Banks.
Well, I've argued that Banks and Wandale are his two best draft picks so far.
So far, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, totally agree.
Tate Banks definitely has a high upside, no question about it. He looks like he's in an excellent corner. But guys, look, Joe goes out last year and trades it down. Well, that's blown up in his face.
Yeah,
guys, that's blown up. You know, he's injured again. If you took a chance on a guy, I get it, third round pick. But now he's playing this. Oh, I'm going to retire. I'm not going to retire. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'm going to be Biggie Smalls. Maybe I'm not going to be this.
Tell me this. Why haven't they cut him yet? Why are we wasting our time?
I got to be honest with you, Spiro. I was talking to a guy the other day about it. You know, and he's like, oh, this Wilder. And I'm like, why don't you just cut him? If he's talking about his foot's out the door, cut him.
Right. Cut him. You're already done if you're talking about it.
Exactly. If you're not in it 100%, if you have 10% doubt, it's time to go. Cut him. Listen, if you got 5% doubt, if you're not sure you're not coming back, and you got get out. Like let's get somebody else in here and figure this out. Figure it out. I mean, like at this point, what are you keeping him for? But anyway, that's just me.
And I got to be honest with you, E. I got to be honest with you. If he says, you know, because it's still a lot of money he's going to give up, right? So if he says, you know what? I'm good to go. I'll be back next year. Do you really feel his heart is 100% in it?
No way. Come on. He want to make records. No. Let him make records.
You know,
let him
go and make records. And I've heard his music. He's not freaking Biggie. Okay. I mean, he's not.
Shout
Biggie.
Out to you.
That video was uncomfortable.
He's not even my boy freaking Meth. Okay.
Exactly. Yo, man, shout out Meth.
Yes. Good call.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I say right now, Eli, our very own Eli Rax, is a significantly better rapper than Darren.
Look, all I'm saying, fellas, is God bless you.
Appreciate that.
Darren, if that's what you want to do, God bless you. I'm not here to judge anybody.
Right.
All I'm saying is, dude, come on now. Let this team know. If obviously your heart's not 100 in it, so just, you know, do your thing. You know what I mean? But even if he says, like I just said, even if he says, hey, Dave, it's Darren. I'll be back. I'll see you at OTAs. I'll see you. You know, how much is he? I mean, are you going to really look at him and say, okay, you know? So, you know, that to me is like, come on, enough now.
He's part of a team that was losing. So at this point, it's just like, dude, like the fans will be okay. We thought you was going to be that difference maker coming in. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out or pan out the way it should have been. It's time to go. Like at this point, the Giants need to go, you know what? Let's just rebuild this thing completely. And let's just get rid of him and let's see what Bellinger can do. Let's see if someone else, a draft someone can do at this point. Because he's just not the answer. He wasn't doing anything, you know, for us when he was here, unfortunately. It's just, I don't know, my opinion.
Guys, listen, I know you got other commitments, especially Hefe. You got little ones at home. We really want to thank you guys for joining us. This was a blast. I probably could have done this for about 5 hours and talk Giants with you guys. And what I said from the start when we started talking to you guys, I said, you were guys that we can – You can go to a bar and have a beer and talk
football. Let's do that.
And that was
good. Let's do that.
No reason why we shouldn't. Yeah, I mean,
aren't you out by me, bro? Where do you live?
No, I'm in Central Jersey. I'll pull you over by
Somerville or something.
Where?
I thought
I was Central Jersey.
Oh, you're not far from me then, but you're like 20 minutes from me.
Yeah, four of us say we're from Central Jersey, and we're all across the state.
I don't know where Central Jersey is.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know you were. You're in Somerville, right, Spiro?
Somerville, baby.
You're like, you're 20 minutes from me.
Let's hit the links. Me and you,
Spiro, do you hit the strip, Somerville? You know, Wolfgang and all that.
Almost every.
I was there last week. I was in a cigar lounge and I hit Wolfgang afterwards.
Text me. Let's go. Come on. Right, let's make this happen. Chris. Okay.
I thought that's what you said, man.
Yes, sir. I'm 10-minute walk. 10-minute walk right down Grove Street.
Okay.
So Eli, I'm gonna let you take us out. I never do this.
Yeah.
But you got to end it with Sundays or Giant Days or you're never coming back. So do whatever you want before that. You got to end it with Sundays or Giant Days.
Jerry, one second, Jerry. Eli, I got to ask you, favorite rapper of all time, who do you got?
Let's go around the horn for that one.
Yeah.
Really? Favorite rapper of all time or my favorite, honestly, it's in a group, man. My favorite rappers are Bone Thugs and Harmony. But if I have to say the GOAT, the greatest of all time, will be the Notorious B.I.G. Hands down.
Thank you, E.
I mean, listen, this is my guy. This is my guy. This is why we're BFFs, me and E. I have to say the same. I could make up a lie and say, you know, somebody else is close. It's Biggie. It's Biggie all day, every
Pick
day.
Kick in the door, wave in the 4-4.
Don't hit me no more.
Hefe, I'm going to ask you this, Hefe. You ready?
Give me your greatest guitarist of all time.
Ooh.
Hey.
I like this. We had this discussion too. I like this.
We did.
Because he actually plays too. That's a good question.
If you don't say Jimmy Page.
Guitar douche.
Jimmy Page. We'll never talk again.
I was between the two Jimmys, to be honest with you. And I went Jimmy Page, but I could have said Hendrix too, but it's Jimmy Page.
Eddie Van Halen, top five.
I'm not a Van Halen. I mean, obviously respect the hell out of him, but I was not a big Van Halen guy. But he's phenomenal, obviously.
That's a rapper, though. Rapper.
Well, as you can tell, I'm a Tupac guy.
West Coast.
I don't know why. Obviously, I love Biggie. Yeah, but Tupac was the one that I gravitated to, and you know, white guy on the Jersey Shore, just rapping along.
It just screams yeah. Tupac. Yeah.
I'm going off the board. I'm going off the board. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Respect.
Absolutely.
I like that though. Now listen, I do have a favorite underground artist, and that is Ransom. Ransom is like the greatest to me. Shout out to Ransom.
That's the voice on our intro.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. He's on it. I'm nodding like I know, and then yes.
No, now you know. Now you know.
We got.
If you don't know, now you know.
Are you a hometown Wu-Tang guy?
I actually worked with some of them. Absolutely. If nobody doesn't know, I did music in the past. I thought I was a rapper at the time until I found my calling of talking to you guys as a Giants fan here. I worked with a couple of them back in the day. It was awesome. Still great people. Still work with some of them. Great people, man. So, yeah, definitely a Wu.
Who'd you work with?
Oh, man, listen, Deck. I worked with Deck, man. We worked with... King Just, worked with a bunch of Killer Army people as well. So shout out to them.
Truth says Young Joker.
Yeah, right.
I saw that. I like it.
Did you work with Did you work with Big Cliff? Meth.
Yeah, you know what? As much as I wanted to, like we went to his like when we was doing music at the time, we went to his tour like in North Carolina.
Cool.
And he's a good dude, man. You know, but he's also hard to get in touch with. So hey, Doug.
I'm sure they're watching.
Shout out to man.
Gentlemen, it's been shout great, brother.
Love you guys.
Take us out of here.
E, take us out.
Yo, let me take you guys out. Guys, if you don't know who we are, you've been living under a rock here, man. And if we merged together and made this incredible show on behalf of my brothers, man, you guys know who this is. And that's, of course, the Biz, Chris Bisignato. My guy here, Jerry Fowler, and of course, Mr. Glass Half Full, and that's Spee if you nasty now. Let's go. And of course, my brother El Jefe, aka White Jersey, aka Blue Jersey, aka Damn It Daniel. And then it's your boy Eli Rax, aka Vibes. And this is the Giants Revival. We see y'all on the next one. Peace and blessings. Yes, sir.
Football Sundays.
Sundays.
What was that?
Sundays are Sundays. Sundays are Giant Days.
Sundays are Giant Days. I screwed that up.
Fire him.